Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The Global Hunger Monitor says worst-case scenario of famine playing out in Gaza. The vast majority of the world is disgusted and outraged over Israel's genocidal war on the Palestinians. Leading Israeli human rights groups agree. Meanwhile, the West only has words of concern. Crosstalking Genocide, I'm joined by my guest, Ramzi Baroud, in Rome. He is a Palestinian author and journalist. And in Bethlehem, we cross to Mazin Kumsaya. He is a professor and founder of the Palestinian Institute for Biodiversity and Sustainability at Bethlehem University. Gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Ramzi, let me go to you first in Rome. You've been on a number of times since the start of the genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza. There's been some kind of sea shift over the last, let's say, week, 10 days. We have people coming. It's on the front line, headlines of major newspapers in the West. They actually use the G word now. We have human rights groups in Israel, B'Tselem, and Physicians for Human Rights. They have concluded Israel is committing the crime of genocide. There's this huge shift going on right now. How do you account for it?
Absolutely. We can definitely claim that there's been a significant change in recent weeks regarding the language, regarding the use of the word genocide, and maybe even some political measures to be added to this. But the argument here, this is belated. The genocide has been taking place for such a long time. We have witnessed that, we have been experiencing that, and we have been watching it really just around the clock of a people who are being exterminated in unprecedented and large numbers. Yet we keep dilly-dallying, we keep playing hide-and-seek with language. And at the end of the day, you have 10% of the population of Gaza that is either dead or wounded or missing. And some numbers suggest that the actual estimate is much higher than that. And for these Western governments to come now to tell us that maybe there is a possibility of a war crime or war crimes committed in Gaza, and possibly we are going to rectify that by recognizing the state of Palestine at one point in the future. Right. What use is this for the 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza, or whatever number remained of them? What use is this of the millions of Palestinians in the West Bank who are also experiencing Israeli, different type of Israeli war crimes, but indeed thousands have been killed, wounded, land confiscated, and a political aspiration that is being completely crushed. So this is a case of too little, too late.
Yeah, in many ways, I call it retroactive morality. Let me go to Mazin in Bethlehem, because we, you know, during the Biden administration, the party line was kept on both sides with both major parties. Into 6 months in the Trump administration, the same Biden policy, essentially. But now there seems to be a change of heart. I think people are beginning to realize, because of the internet and how everything is recorded, people are going to look up at where you stood for 21 months into a genocide, where you were, where was your conscience, where was your moral compass. Mazin, go ahead in Bethlehem.
Thank you very much for hosting me and Ramzi on this channel. It's a very important subject. This is the moral issue of our time. This is the genocide of our time. This is the genocide of the 21st century, and it's a Holocaust in every sense of the word. People are being burned alive literally as we speak. Just in the past 24 hours, over 100 Palestinians have been killed, nearly half of them while seeking aid, so-called aid that distribution centers that are created as death traps to bring the Palestinians in so that they can be shot easier without wasting too much bombs, if you want, on large areas. This is essentially what's happening. Now, the fact that international human rights organizations have called it what it is, a genocide, and now two Israeli human rights organizations joined the fray of calling it a genocide. It's kind of interesting because also There was even very early on, like the first week after October, 7th, when even Israeli genocide Holocaust scholar Professor Raz said this is a classic genocide and you can know it when you see it. And this was right after the beginning in October 2023. And now the Western governments, as mentioned by Dr. Ramzi, they are playing games of politics and games of public relations, rather than doing something to stop this genocide. Politics and games do not convince us. I live here in Bethlehem, where people are killed also regularly. Two friends of mine were killed in Bethlehem, young people. Just in the past few weeks. So things are happening as we speak. And if the Western governments are really serious,
first
thing they should do is expel Israeli ambassadors, apply sanctions like we did with apartheid South Africa.
Well, I mean, you know, Ramzi, it's very interesting because we all noticed this groundswell of what's going on. But we had Donald Trump over the last weekend. As Gaza starves, he says to the media, Israel has to make a decision to finish the job. What do you, I mean, when you look at public opinion polls in the United States, this is a very unpopular position that the United States is taking. It goes across parties, it goes across generations, okay? And I was brought up in the United States. I know how powerful Israeli Hasbara is, and now they're in the tank right now. But Donald Trump says Israel should finish the job. This is dual realities right now, Ramzi.
It is, because Donald Trump has a completely different target audience. You know, I've been on your show many times, Peter, and remember, I've always been counting on the people, on civil societies. They are the ones who are capable of putting the pressure and making the change. And if you look at the most recent Gallup poll coming from the U.S., it tells you that majority of people in the United States under the age of 35 are squarely on the side of Palestinians. The support for Israel has dwindled like never before in history. The popularity of Netanyahu is worse than it has ever been since such polls were taken on his personality in 1997. Why is Trump, who is supposedly sensitive to the popular sentiment in his society, why is he continue to chart that road completely opposite of what his own people, let alone the rest of the global community, international institutions, high courts, even European societies have been heading? What is it that makes Trump continue to dig deeper into a position that can only be described as absolutely callous and inhumane, where children are literally dying from hunger on a daily basis, yet somehow he still thinks that this job, whatever the job is, by the way, is not yet finished, and he wants Israel to do more than what it has already done, which is one of the worst genocides in modern history.
You know, Mazin, when he was asked about this, he acknowledged that there is starvation. I mean, it's really remarkable. He says, yes, there's starvation there. And all of us are saying, and what are you going to do about it? And he said, we're going to send more money. We already sent a lot of money and no one has thanked us for it. I mean, he is so tone deaf, or it tells us who he surrounds himself with. And I think that's really the problem. Donald Trump is not very good with figures. He's not very good with facts. He's not very good when it comes to foreign policy. And so when he's saying we've already spent a lot of money, one has to wonder what his administration is all about. Because as we've all pointed out on this program, Israel is in the tank when it comes to the Americans. Go ahead.
Indeed, the U.S. administration under Donald Trump is known for its fickleness. Donald Trump is a narcissist who basically changes his words, sometimes contradicts himself within the same day or even within the same hour. So yes, we sent a lot of money. We sent billions of dollars to the state of Israel to commit the genocide. That's what the American taxpayers have been doing. It's the most well-funded genocide in human history. And meanwhile, the U.S. public infrastructure in the U.S. is deteriorating, and floods and hurricanes and so forth are not being dealt with. Fires in California are not being dealt with because the U.S. does not have its own foreign policy. Trump, we have to remember, is a puppet of Netanyahu and of the Zionist lobby, who have the Epstein videos, basically. They can release them when they want to. That shows what Trump was doing with Epstein and with the girls. So this is how they do it, by blackmail, by controlling a foreign policy of the United States in a way that harms U.S. citizens. And in a way, I mean, I predicted that Trump will be reelected again second time, and I predicted that this will accelerate the demise of the U.S.
Well, as we approach the break here, I mean, it's 6 months in, but his legacy is going to be a warmonger and the backer of the 21st century's genocide. What a remarkable thing to do, have returning to office. Gentlemen, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on genocide. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing genocide. And now joining us is Mustafa Barghouti. He is a member of the Palestinian Parliament and leader of the Palestinian National Initiative. Mustafa, thank you for joining us in the second half of the program. One of the things that have come out in the last few news cycles is that the UK, France, and Canada have, under certain conditions, will recognize the state of Palestine during the General Assembly of the United Nations in September. Now, that's a shift that is remarkable. I'm not sure what it really means. We have heard this kind of rhetoric before. It's always very conditional. What is the significance of that? Because if, in fact, they do it, the United States is going to be even more isolated on the international stage. What are your thoughts about this? I see pluses and I see some downside. Go ahead.
Well, the United States is already isolated. I mean, it's alone with Israel. I mean, nobody else is with them. Maybe only Marshall Islands. One Palestinian family is larger in population than Marshall Islands. So, in my opinion, they are already isolated. The recognition that Europeans speak about, of course, there has a positive value in the sense that it means that they are obliged to recognize the right of self-determination for the Palestinian people. And that act by itself negates all the Israeli de facto measures, including settlement building, including the laws that deny Palestinians the right of self-determination and the right for an independent state. But these recognitions are still conditional. Maybe France is different, but in the case of Britain and Canada and Australia and others, they condition it with the Israeli behavior, which is very strange. I mean, the recognition of Palestine is a political act that is justified by the fact that these countries speak about two-state solution since decades. But they recognized only Israel and they didn't recognize Palestine. So in a way, it's a correction of a mistake. And especially for Britain, which is responsible for Balfour Declaration, which was the main cause of all the catastrophes that Palestinians were subjected to. But no, they are conditioning the recognition with the Israeli behavior. That is wrong. On the other hand, what is needed is more than just recognition. What is needed now are sanctions on Israel. To immediately impose sanctions on the Israeli army, on the Israeli government, at least total military embargo. because Israel is encouraged by the fact that Britain still provides some military supplies to Israel. Israel is encouraged by the fact that France still provides military equipment to Israel. So these countries, if they are really serious about stopping the genocide, they have to immediately declare military embargo, and they have to immediately suspend the European-Israeli Association Agreement and threaten Israel with much more punitive acts. Israel will not be restrained without actual acts of boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Let me add to you one more thing. The United States of America has just announced that they are punishing the Palestinians, not the Israelis. They've just declared that they are denying from now on visas to the United States to any Palestinian who's a member of the PLO or any Palestinian in the Palestinian Authority. That gives you an impression about what is going on with this American administration.
In my opinion,
what we see here, and I will finish here, what you see here is a union of fascists. And the biggest fascist here is the Israeli government.
Well, you know, Ramzi, as we're talking about this, you know, all of us, again, you know, I guess we're mildly surprised what the French and the British and the Canadians are doing. But at the same time, there are reports, and I distress it, only reports here, about Israel about to annex parts of Gaza. And there's all, and it's widely believed that Trump will agree to the annexation of the West Bank. So what do the words from the West mean? I mean, two-state solution, but if you're going to see annexation, then what's the second state? I mean, please explain this to me. I understand that this talk of annexation may be some kind of tactic negotiation. I don't believe it. I believe exactly what Mustafa has to say. It's not going to deter Israel. Go ahead, Ramzi.
Absolutely. And I do fully agree with Dr. Mustafa on this one. I think one misconception here is that a lot of people think that by Israel threatening to annex or actively annex parts of or the entire West Bank, like potentially parts of Gaza, it indicates as if Israel is not a de facto or hasn't carried out a de facto annexation of the West Bank and Gaza. Military occupation is an illegal term. It's not a swear word. It's a legal term that was created by the international legal system to define the relationship between the occupier and the occupied. It is supposed to be a temporary process. Israel has prolonged that military occupation to the point that it became permanent military occupation, and essentially it's a de facto annexation. Regarding Gaza, if Israel was capable of taking over Gaza, it would have done so anyway. And the only reason that it can't is because it simply cannot overcome the hurdles created by the resistance of the Palestinians and the resilience of the Palestinian people in Gaza. That's the only reason. Look at what Netanyahu has said from the very beginning, that we are going to take full security control over Gaza. It means permanent military occupation and potentially annexation. He couldn't. So it's very important to respect the agency of the Palestinian people and to say that no, the decision is not in the hands of Netanyahu and the Israeli government, neither in the West Bank nor in Gaza. The Palestinian people are a political agent. And in fact, in the case of Gaza, at least for now, is the one that is able to determine political outcomes as far as Israel's plans in the Gaza Strip.
Well, that's just the point, Namigu Damazin. That's the whole point here, is that Palestinians have never, in the eyes of the West, had political agency. I mean, the conditional, I mean, you know, self-determination is not conditional. It is or it isn't, okay? But the double standard is applied when it comes to the Palestinians. What about UNRWA and the United Nations? If these aid workers cannot get back into Gaza, I cannot see in any way how the starvation will stop. This American foundation that Israel backs is a joke, a sick joke. Go ahead, in Bethlehem.
Well, the latest statistics actually shows that at least 8 or 10% of the population of Gaza has already perished, is already disappeared, is already dead, either from direct bombing or from starvation and diseases without treatment, and you triple that for the number of injured people. So Gaza population is being diminished. The ethnic cleansing is ongoing. As far as the West Bank, there are 1 million, almost 1 million Israeli Jewish settlers in the West Bank. Per square kilometer, that's more than what exists within the Green Line, so to speak, the areas that were occupied in 1948. So the idea of a two-state so-called solution, which is an idea that was created by Ben-Gurion in the 1920s for PR purposes, no more. And he explained this in letters to his son, that we should be talking about two states endlessly. Now Israel doesn't feel that they need to talk about two states because they have the power. So they can proceed to do whatever they want to and finish the process of settler colonialism. We have to remember, this is the real diagnosis, not a military occupation. The real diagnosis is displacement settler colonialism, similar to what happened in Australia and the United States, the ethnic cleansing and the genocide of the local people. That's what it is about, no more and no less. It's a very simple issue, and its solution is very simple. You either go down the path of decolonization, or you continue the path of colonization and endless wars. Well, I could end with nuclear war, but that's another issue.
Yeah, but Mustafa, I've believed from the very beginning of this phase of the conflict is that the Israelis see this all as one big, huge opportunity to solve all problems in all places at all times. Starting a war with Iran, destroying southern Lebanon. They're not going to stop with the displacement of the Palestinians. The Trump administration will actually allow it to happen, irrespective of public opinion. Is that your opinion?
Absolutely. The other day, Witkoff, yes, this man who works for Trump, described the United States of America as the policeman of the world. And I think the way you can describe Israel in this context is that Israel is the police boy for the United States of America in the Middle East. And what Netanyahu has big dreams, of course. He imagines himself as a superpower, a new imperialist power that will control the Middle East. He thinks of himself as the future controller of all the countries in the Middle East. I mean, that's why he's attacking Lebanon, he's attacking in Syria, he's attacking Yemen. He's doing things in Iraq. And he plays games to destroy the Egyptian economy. And simply, he looks at himself as an imperialist power. But as a matter of fact, he's nothing but a police boy for the United States of America. And in both cases, what these people are doing is to allow every possible crime to achieve their goals, whether it's economic goals or strategic goals. And we all know now that the attack on Gaza was nothing but part of the American strategy to create this new trade path or trade way between India and the Mediterranean through some Arab countries and through Israel. In competition with China and in competition, of course, with Russia and other countries. So in reality, this is what's happening. But the cost, the price is horrible. The price is a true genocide of the Palestinian people who resist, who struggle, who insist on their rights, and who will not leave this country, whatever it takes. So this is the dilemma of what's happening. And of course, I know that Israel will remain at war for whatever it does. I mean, it's not going to be the huge superpower. But at the same time, it could not have done anything in the Middle East without the United States support. Even the war in Gaza alone, they could not have done it. They could not have continued it for more than 21 months without American support. The United States of America had to organize the largest air bridge in the history of this region to help Israel in the very first 2 months of this war, because Israel cannot do it alone. And of course, they could not have attacked Iran without the United States. So in reality, United States of America and Trump personally are now responsible, and not only complicit, but also responsible for the war crimes that are happening here.
Yeah, but Ramsey, as we said in the beginning of the program, I'm hesitant to use silver lining in talking about this, but public opinion is against this in the United States, and that momentum is getting greater and greater. I'm astounded by the change of opinion in the United States. And I think people are beginning to feel very, very passionate about it. Trump's got to worry about that in a very big way. Go ahead, finish off the program for us, Ramsey.
Absolutely. Not just a change of opinion in the United States, but around the globe. I was just recently in Naples, in Italy, to give a talk. You would really think that Napoli is now a Palestinian city. I mean, that's all that people are talking about now. Palestine is everywhere. The global dynamics are changing. The non-state actors in the Middle East have much greater sway than entire Arab armies had in the past. So I think Netanyahu and Trump are playing in the salvage time at the end of the game. And I think the reality on the ground, despite of the painful losses and sacrifices by the Palestinian people, is that the world is changing. And Netanyahu, no matter what he does to change it back, I don't think he will ever get his new Middle East.
I very much agree with you. This is far from over. And given the resilience of the Palestinian people, I expect the same moving forward. Fascinating discussion, gentlemen. I appreciate it very much. And I want to thank my guests in Rome, Ramallah, and in Bethlehem. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.